my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before, or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. We have a lot to get through today, and we are on chapter 19 of the study guide called End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace, right? Is that right? it's chapter 19. It's study number 20, but it's chapter 19 in the book. Yes. Hey, Tammy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. We're going to make this happen. So you guys, we're going to go zigzag lightning through this, because this is a pretty easy study, I think, compared to some of the ones that we've done before. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. I've got to be out of here at 11, so I know you guys probably have things to do too. So let's jump in. If you're new here, this is the website, freedomforce.live. If you want to catch up, go to the end times page right here, the intro, and you will see the where you can catch up on all of the studies that we've done, all chapter studies 1 through 19 so far. Don't forget to hit that like button right now. Go ahead and hit it. Before we move on, make sure you're subscribed, make sure your bell is rung, so you'll get notifications when we're doing live. So here's the chapter number 19. That's a little bit bigger, and let's get started. Let me see if I can move this over here a little bit so it's a little bit bigger. And Tammy, let's hit it. Oh, we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord, that you guide us through all these things. You guide us through to understand your word and understand what's going on. Thank you that we have a front row seat to what is happening in this day. And this is the day you promised would come. And we just ask you to bless us as we study your word. And you promise where two or more are gathered, you are in our midst. We know you're here. You're with us. You always lead us. Like you said in that passage in Joel, with a shout. And that we are your mighty army, and you've moved us into battle. And just thank you so much that the promise that this day would come when the bowls would be poured out on our enemies is here. We just praise you and thank you that you're the King of the world. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, amen. Tammy, go right to Revelation chapter 16, verse 1.
Okay, who do you think the great voice out of the temple was who sent the seven angels to pour out the vials, bowls of God's wrath and judgment? Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath." The Lord.
That's right. The Lord. And later on in the end of the chapter, he's going to say, "It is finished." That tells you also, because you know, our Lord Jesus said that at the cross, you know, that part was finished. And now this part is going to be finished, where the enemy will be cast out of the earth, because we've already, you know, filled the earth with people who are ready to rise up. And that's You, that's me, right? It's very exciting. All right, so now let's read chapter 5 and 8. Those little verses here talking about these bowls of incense. And I'll just tell you before she reads them that this is our prayers. We've been praying for all this time, Lord, deliver us. Now, we didn't even know who was doing all these things to us and who was causing all the wars and all the damage to the world, but now we do. So this is the bowls are filled with our prayers. So this incense is a symbol of our prayers. Okay, go, Tammy.
Okay. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people, which
yes.
you just...
Yes, that's right.
Could just go ahead with Revelation 8. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. And a great amount of incense was given to him to mix the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out.
Yes, amen.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's learn about the wrath and judgment of God that is inflicted on the New World Order evildoers. There might be several correct answers to the symbolism for each bowl. Our main focus is to remember that the wicked will receive signs of impending judgment and then judgment upon judgment. Most of them will still refuse to repent no matter what.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Tammy. You're the best. Okay. So yeah, so the Lord is answering our prayers, and not just our prayers, but the prayers that have been filling up these bowls for thousands of years to set us free from these people. And, you know, similar to how the Egyptians were set free. I mean, God's people were set free from the Egyptians back in the day when they crossed the Red Sea. And so this is symbolically what we are doing. If you guys are not familiar with that, go to my End Times page right here. Go to freedomforce.live and you'll see it'll pop up within a second. It'll pop up with the books. This is biblical. This one on the right that I tell the story about. All these Bible stories are happening before our eyes. The story of Gideon, the story of just so many Bible stories, and they're all in that book. So check that out if you haven't read that, or the audio book is right there so you can listen to it. But this is what's happening, and this is what so many times are hearkened to in Revelation. And so it's really important that if you're new to some of those stories, it's really important so you'll understand the symbolism there. But we are being set free like the God's people were from the Egyptians. All right, so that's our prayers being answered. And so now in question number 2.
Remember from previous lessons, who are the ones who took the evil mark of the beast who are inflicted with the bowls of God's wrath? So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue.
Right.
So we, yeah.
Who are those people who took the mark of the beast? What is
the
mark?
New World Order, satanic, antichrist,
yep.
Criminal cabal.
Yep, that's it. That's it. So, you know, we already know this, but if you guys are new on here and you're not familiar with what is the truth about this, the mark of the beast, it's the mark of pure evil. One of the things I just posted on my social media this morning was this stupid red dress with the red shoes and the symbolism that they use, and I don't even want to go into it, but it's their blood sacrifice. And it's, you know, this is those who have taken this mark to join this evil club. They've sold their souls literally to be part of this, the wealth and the power and to be able to buy and sell and be, you know, famous and all that. And so now you know who is this talking about? The angel is pouring out the bowl on the ones who are in this club, in this satanic club, right? So we already know that they worship the statue. In other words, they worship the beast. They love evil. It's just hard for us to really wrap our heads around that, but that's why I keep reminding you guys, yes, this is the club, exactly. So all right, so now question number 3, and this is in the Old Testament, it says noisome and grievous sores. And here in that verse 2, it says horrible and malignant sores. So go ahead and read that question, Timmy.
Okay, so what do you think the noisome and grievous sores might be, Revelation 16:2? Note, always remember the Lord is rescuing humanity and bringing judgment on the demon worshipers.
Right, right. Always remember that. Always remember that he is rescuing us. Like Tammy just reminded me of, was it yesterday? That the Lord is, it's the end times for them and a thousand years of peace for us. It's the Lord is rescuing humanity. And it breaks my heart when I hear, you know, people talk about the end times, that they think God is coming to indiscriminately destroy humanity. And that is not true. He's coming to rescue us. So what do you think those noisome, grievous sores might be?
Physical afflictions from the rituals and things that they're doing. What's that? Andronochrome.
Adrenochrome.
There's things that they do, and if they don't continually do it, or if there's a, you know, a break in it.
Right. So that's this is evil. If you guys aren't familiar with the adrenochrome, it's absolutely from the pits of hell. It's the drinking of blood. Okay, and it's going to talk about that here in just a little bit more, a little later. It's absolutely horrifying, and they think that that's the fountain of youth, and that they'll be able to live forever, and they've been horribly deceived, and so now they, you know, what do you guys think? Do y'all think that that's what it's talking about, these noisome, grievous, or horrible, malignant sores broke out on them? It would make sense to me. So either way, it might just be symbolic for just their bottom line. They know they're in, the judgment is falling, and they are realizing that this is coming, and that there's no turning back from it. That they're going to be, this is the moment in time when they're going to be exposed before the whole world. Everybody knows what they're doing. I mean, we all know. it's huge. Tucker and Clayton were just on yesterday talking about how everybody knows, you know, not maybe everybody, but it's a lot of people know compared to what in the past, you know, we have awakened humanity. So great job, Army of the Lord. We have done our job to awaken people. We've shared this like our hair's been on fire for, you know, 8 years. All right, number four, Tammy.
What could it mean that every living soul on the sea died? Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died.
All right.
They do a lot of business, commerce on the ocean. They get away with a lot of stuff because they're not on land. And this is, it's going to be the end of all of that.
Right. So, yeah, sometimes the sea is talking about all of humanity. Sometimes it's talking about it as the commerce on the sea, you know, how and we talk about the law of the sea is where we are basically their chattel. They consider us cargo on a ship on the sea, you know, so that we're really the commerce where they're selling humanity for whatever they want, you know, to kill us off or whatever they want to do to us. So, you know, that's over. I really think that that's what it's bottom line, whatever the symbolism is, their day of treating us like cargo and treating us bad, it's over. Praise the Lord for that. All right, number five. And you guys, I'm watching the chat, so tell me if whatever your thoughts are, and I'll shout it out in the as I read it. Go ahead.
Okay. What could it mean that rivers and fountains of water became blood? Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood.
Right. So this one is interesting. A lot of times in the Bible, rivers and fountains is about joy and life. And, you know, we even think of that, you know, whenever you see a fountain, you think of it's just it's bubbling and bubbling of life. And so what do you think maybe this might mean, symbolize in this passage, that this judgment is being poured out on them, and what are they losing?
They're losing that joy and happiness and all that they're getting. They may still have doing evil things at the moment, but they are no longer having pleasure in it.
Right. Because there's always in the back of their mind, doom is coming. Judgment is coming. I remember a post, where it was that it says Schumer would never have another day's peace. This has been years and years ago. So as he continued on his evil, of course, to this very day, we've seen. But he knows, you know, there's nothing can stop what is coming. He knows. You know, and we're just now in the past few years understanding what's been going on. But they've known, and they also know the Bible, that there will be a day of judgment. And they've talked about, you know, the sleeping giant. They don't want the sleeping giant to awaken. Well, we did. when we woke up. And so, yeah, so I think that, what do you guys think? Tell me in the comments what you think as far as the rivers and springs that became blood. It's just, it's everything has this pallor of death over it instead of that joy that they're like, hey, we're living high. We're getting away with all this mayhem, but not anymore. Okay, number six.
I love how the writer of the Revelation stops again and again to praise the Lord for bringing judgment on the evildoers and for rescuing humanity. Why do the angels and all of humanity concur that God's judgment is just?
Amen.
And I heard the angel had authority over all water, saying, you are just, O Holy One, who is and who was and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward. And I heard a voice from the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just.
Amen.
Since they
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I know you guys feel the same way. We're praising him. Thank you so much, Lord. And I just love it how they stop throughout the entire book of Revelation. And even just in this chapter, he stops and says, I've got to just stop and give praise to the Lord. Because we could not have defeated them. If it had not been for the Lord Jesus, we could not defeat them. We couldn't. And I'm just, thank you, Lord, that your judgments are true and just. Thank you that you are bringing judgment on them and you're rescuing humanity. Great and awesome are your ways. Isn't that what it says here? You know, you always were, always was, because you've sent these judgments. They shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets. And you've given them blood to drink. In other words, their own judgment that they've done against us, what they've done against us, is coming back on to them. And only the Lord can make that. It's their just reward. They deserve it. And we're all going to say, yes, they deserve it because of what they have done to humanity with impunity. Didn't even care about all the people who are dying. And we see it. They don't even care about all the people who are dying in Ukraine. They don't care about all the poor people in Gaza. They do not care about all the people who've been sick from the COVID jab and all that. They don't care. The Lord is just and holy in all of his ways. Praise the Lord that he's doing this and saving us. All right, number seven.
Which what might be giving them blood to drink in judgment symbolize in Revelation 16:6. And that you kind of spoke that it's their just reward, but they're having to drink their own eternal death and judgment. There is coming back. I wrote boomerang in big
writing. That's right.
Right next to that.
Yes, exactly. And it's just whatever they have intended for us, the Lord is going to put it back on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is the just reward, giving them that blood to drink. That's a symbolic way of saying that they're just this horrible judgment that none of us can really, I would not want to be in their shoes. I would not want to be them at all, that the Lord is rescuing us. All right, number eight.
The fourth angel poured out God's judgment bowl on the scorching sun. What could that symbolize? Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory.
Amen. They won't. We've seen it. Hadn't it been shocking? They refuse to repent. It's really because they can't. Because they've cast out the Holy Spirit and they've taken in demons. And it's they can't even repent. It's just awful. So, what do you think the scorching sun might be? Go ahead, Miss Tammy, since you're here.
Oh, well, it's misery and anger, overwhelming anger, because everything they try to stop fails.
Right.
They can't do it. So they're...
Right. I think so. I think that's what it is. You know, he poured out this bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Think about if you're like the feeling the fires of hell already, and they're just in misery and anguish. But even that, they just keep cursing God. So that tells you right there, there's no doubt. This is the ones who've taken the mark of the beast are the people who curse God, who fight against God and fight against God's people, who have done all these evil things to God's people, killing God's holy people, as it said in this verse down here. Let me move over here a little bit. Verses 6. You know, they've shed the blood of your holy people. That's what it's talking about. This is who it is. These people curse God. They curse God's people. They do all this evil. And now they're, you know, what do you guys think? I think it's just their anger.
Well, yeah, they're getting louder and louder with their blame. We're the ones that are causing all of this, but their audience is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
They're melting. Yes, like the Wizard of Oz, that witch and the Wizard of Oz. They're just melting. But yeah, that is an amazing thing that we see it happening before their eyes. And yeah, all that they're trying to do, projection. This morning, I posted something about the projection. That's all they have is to blame us and curse us. All right, so number nine,
what could the fifth angel's bowl indicate? Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish.
Yes, what do you think that one is?
Well, they're no longer being quiet about it. Now they're doing, you know, they're I guess they can't do it openly. So now they're more in trying to do it underneath, but they are getting exposed daily.
Yep.
And I mean, just even what Elon said on thing about, you know, stop being psychotic. This is psychotic.
Right. Right. And in that same very post, he said it was Armageddon.
Yes.
You're acting like this is Armageddon. This is like Armageddon. I'm like, it is Armageddon. But it's the kind where we defeat the bad guys. That's the great thing. Yeah. The great news about Armageddon is that we win. We're going to defeat all these people. Isn't that great? But yeah, I think that also that darkness might indicate that they are, like, just this morning, President Trump took away the security clearances of Kamala and Clinton and all them, so that they no longer have access to what's going on in the inside. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So he's toying with them because he's been doing this little by little by little, taking mm-hmm. away their security clearance, which none of us realized that they would leave office and that they would still have security clearance. That just makes zero sense to us that they have security clearance. It's like, just like if you were working at a company and then you no longer work for them, you wouldn't keep your security clearance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but they do because they're all just in on this deep state, you know, working at the top. Doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. So these ones who are the deep state have continued to have access to all this, but now their kingdom is plunged into darkness. That they don't know what Trump is going to do, what the white hats are going to do. They don't know when, and it's just a matter of impending judgment. So maybe what they're doing in their back channels is they would say, well, even if these other people have lost their access, Hillary's still got hers, and she'll let us know what's going on. Or Kamala will let us know. Well, they don't have their security clearance. So what do you guys think? Do you think that that's what this is talking about? You know, either way, they're plunged into darkness that they don't know which way to go. They don't know what to do. And their kingdom is melting. It's just disintegrating, and they can't stop it. And they don't know which way to turn. Just like if you're in the dark, if you've ever been in a place that's dark and where you can't see your hand in front of your face, you don't know which way to go, what to do. It would be hard to be blind. I just feel for these people who are blind because you don't know what to do. So they're blind right now. They don't know what to do. All right, number 11.
Okay. Do they repent of their evil deeds and turn to God? Why or why not? Revelation 16:11. No, they do not. And we've been talking to that. They can't at this point. I just don't believe they can.
Right.
You know,
right.
They've sold their soul to the devil, I guess is all I can say. They've made that commitment. They can't find a way to turn back. And they look right into the camera and say things that, you know.
Right. We see you. We see you. You're lying and we see you, you know, but they are hoping at least some people will buy into it. Yep. I just, it would be an awful, awful thing to be infilled. Ugh, the thought of it, the being infilled with demons, just awful, just awful, awful. Yes. They made a very, very bad, bad choice. Yes. Number 12.
Okay. Who do you think the kings from the east symbolize? Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the East Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the East could march their armies toward the West without hindrance.
That's a very interesting passage. Isn't that something? The sixth angel. So we're on the sixth angel of seven. And now he's pouring out this bowl on the kings. On the Great Euphrates River. And so that these kings could, from the east, could march their armies. So I've thought about this and prayed about this for a long time. So let me show you a picture of the Euphrates. In history, it's always made a big line between the east and the west. So these armies, these kings can move from the east to the west. Once Euphrates is dried up, now in the past, Euphrates was there. I mean, if you didn't have a way to get across that Euphrates River, you're stuck. And if you notice right here, I mean, this is like the crossroads of civilization from the east to the west. This is the Euphrates. It just basically makes a big barrier there. And so it goes all the way up through Iraq and Syria and way up through Turkey. I mean, where you cannot get across. And so if you notice where this little red marker is, that is where Babylon was. Babylon is where the wise men lived, who came to see the birth of Christ. And so they were the kings from the east. We always talk about the three kings from the east. And so what's that symbolism there? They're coming to recognize the king. They're coming to recognize that Christ is coming to rule the earth. Now, of course, when Jesus was in the stable and a baby, you didn't see exactly how that was going to happen. And we had really, I don't know if anybody had any idea it was going to be 2,000 more years. You know, they just didn't understand that. And just like with us, we did not know it was going to be 7 years that we were going to have to keep fighting this battle. It's a good thing we didn't know because, yeah, it would have been really discouraging. But either way, you know, we're going to keep fighting no matter how long it takes. But so they are living there, and so they ended up coming across. Okay, so you're right here where this star is. You guys see that? The star is where Babylon is, and they come all the way up around the Euphrates, and they come around. Must have been a bridge or something right here where they could cross. But to have an army to cross there, that would make it really, really hard to cross over on this bridge. But anyway, so then they came obviously to Jerusalem to see our Lord Jesus being born. But so when you look at this passage right here, where it's talking about the sixth angel, he's pouring out his bowl on the Euphrates, so it's dried up. We're all coming to see the kingdom. We're all coming to see the kingdom, whether they like it or not, whether they can't stop it. What do y'all think? Do y'all think? I really think that that's what it's talking about. They were marching without hindrance, and that there's no stopping it, and that's what makes them maddest of all. So yeah, we'll get to that. I won't do a spoiler
God's
on
army.
That.
God's army.
Yes.
God's army.
Yes. Yes. So number 13. What is the way the kings of the east that are they are preparing? Hint: the three wise men prepared for Christ's first advent. So they are, we are now preparing to see His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. So number 14. Okay, go ahead.
In response to God's wrath being poured out of these vile creatures, even more evil comes pouring out of them. In concert, they spew their evil vitriol against the Lord. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Reminder, who do these symbols represent?
Right.
So the dragon is
right.
Satan.
Right.
The beast is the new world order.
Right.
And the false prophet are the religious institution leaders who work with the new world order.
Right, right. Here, I got a picture for you. So the dragon,
yeah.
The dragon, of course, that's Satan. The beast is the new world order. Right, this the ones at the top of the pyramid, and the false prophet is the unfortunately these there are some preachers who know. Now there's some preachers who don't know. They're just ignorant. They're just willing, useful idiots. They don't even understand that they're just being pawns. I'm going to sneeze, but there are some who do. Excuse me. There's some who very well know. They very well know that they are lying to the people. They're deceiving. Like the ones who took over the seminaries, they knew that they were doing things like with the Scofield Bible. My most recent video, I talked about the Scofield Bible and how they used that to to twist God's word and to mislead God's people. And so, you know, most people just go and we trust the preacher. We figure, well, he's the expert, just like we've trusted the people on the mainstream media. Well, you know, there are some who've been the false prophet who've led the people to teach something wrong. So if you've taught something wrong in the past, you know, like I used to teach about that we were going to escape Earth. I thought we were, that was, because that's what I was taught. And so I really, you know, but I wasn't doing it on purpose. I wasn't doing it knowingly to deceive people. So that's the false prophet is the ones who knowingly deceive. All right. They know the facts and they lie. All right. So these evil spirits look like frogs and they leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. So all these are knowingly lying straight from the pits of hell, basically, is what this is. This is the, you know, what the frogs are. All right. In this passage. All right. 15.
What if Revelation 16:12 made the evil spirits get so angry in Revelation 16:13? Remember to mock them.
Yes.
They're angry that Christ is coming to earth to rule, and their rule is soon to be over.
Right, and they're so angry. The last thing they want, is for us to, yes, thank you, SGT Justice, exactly. It talks about the rapture, exactly. The last thing they want is for the meek to inherit the earth, for God's people to take over the earth, and for us to rule and reign with Christ. That is the last thing they want. They want it where they can allow, you know, there's all this transgender and just, you know, just child sacrifice and child trafficking and all this. They want all this to go on. And so they just, the thought of that makes them so angry, but there's no stopping it. No stopping it at all. All right. So, number 16.
What did the unclean spirits do? For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
Yes, yes. All right. So that one is, let me see. That's where it talks about this. They're so angry. But here we're going to talk about how they're gathering everyone to battle. And that's where I have this picture for you guys right here. This is the valley of, let me see if I'm going to say this wrong. This is the valley of, my brain. Okay, there's Megiddo is the, let me go back up. Let me make sure I'm telling you right. That's not the one. This, all right, can you see right here? I think that's the Megiddo right there. And this is, what is the name of that valley? You guys, somebody remind me of that valley. My brain has just left my brain for a second. Anybody have an idea what the name of that is? The valley. But anyway, that's where it talks about this in the Old Testament, that this would be the Battle of Armageddon would be fought on this valley. And when you go there, and I actually got to go there, and I was up on that mountain where Elijah had done the battle of the two sacrifices. We were up on the top of this mountain, and you could, from there, you could look out over this valley, this huge valley. And it is most of the land is like really hilly and a lot of mountains, but this is one huge valley. And my brain, yeah. Can somebody, Valley of Dry Bones? No, that's not the word. Y'all got to pull out the word in my head I'm thinking of. Can you think of it, Tammy?
No, I have dry bones in mine, so that's why I'm laughing. I couldn't get dry bones out of mine.
Okay, yeah. No, this is the, I'll look at it for it real quick. The valley near Megiddo. Megiddo. Jezreel! The Jezreel Valley. Okay, there you go. That's the name of it. All right, so this is the Jezreel Valley. And if you search that word, you'll see a lot of times it talks about that the battle will be fought at the Jezreel Valley. Well, it's symbolism. It's symbolism for that we're going to fight this on this huge open plain. What is the huge open plain? It's the internet, right? We're not going to fight with guns and, you know, bullets and bombs. Yes, there are wars going on. I understand that. But the Battle of Armageddon is an information war, right? It's a war for the hearts and minds of the people to understand the truth about what's been going on. And that's why we've been, you know, the Freedom Force Battalion out here fighting, but not in this valley of the Jezreel Valley. And with this Megiddo right here, I'll make this a little bit bigger, see if you can see. If you notice right here, see how it's huge, huge valley. And the Megiddo is like a fortress. You can't so much tell from there, but it's really high, a high area in there. So it would be a good place to be if you were in the valley, so you're up above everybody else and they couldn't get to you. But that's the picture of it in the Bible when it talks about the Megiddo Valley, the Megiddo and the Jezreel Valley is talking about where this battle will be fought. But that's symbolism, okay? I hope that helps. Does that make sense, you guys? All right, so now on number 17. What is number? Let me go back to this one, number 17. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
Well, we kind of... Where are the New World Order kings gathered to fight? Name the location and tell what that means symbolically. So we were kind of talking about the Megiddo.
Yes.
Its location, and that the Armageddon is the internet. So it's,
yes, thank you. I got ahead, but yeah, that's the number 17. That we're gathered on the internet to fight. But the location is the Jezreel Valley. I need to actually add that as number 17. I need to add that answer, Jezreel Valley. In the answer key. But symbolically we're fighting on the internet. All right, so now number 18.
How is our Lord like a thief? Specifically at this point, Jesus is asking this question at this climatic moment in history when evildoers will be cast out of earth.
Yes.
Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed.
Amen. Amen. Don't y'all find that interesting? Isn't that interesting that we're listening to all this? This bowl's poured out, and that bowl's poured out, and this bowl's poured out, and that bowl's poured out. Think of judgment and judgment upon judgment upon judgment. And you see, our Lord Jesus is like fighting in this battle. And all of a sudden, in this verse 15, he stops. He says, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Why does he say this now? In the middle, it's like you're busy fighting this battle, pouring out bowl after bowl after bowl after bowl of justice and judgment. Why are you saying this now? Blessed are all those who are watching for me, who will keep their clothing ready so they won't have to walk around naked and ashamed. Why is he saying that now? Okay, so what is the question I have in verse 18? What was that first question I have for you?
The question was... how is our Lord like a thief?
Yes.
And because, just as you said, he's actually leading the battle. And a lot of people, I think, are not recognizing that. But he is at the head of this battle and has
Amen.
Been. And,
Amen.
You know, that's it's going to be a surprise and a shock to some people. But those of us that are kind of watching.
Amen. Amen. He definitely, like that passage at the very beginning of the video, I always play Joel chapter 2. He leads them with a shout. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. You know, and some people don't realize this is biblical. This is what we're trying to do. So I really appreciate you guys being here. I really appreciate you guys sharing this because it's so important for people to understand that so many Christians are afraid that the world's going to, you know, is going to be. I literally saw a video the other day of this girl who she was just about in tears. She said, write a note to your family because you're going to be escaping earth soon and their family's going to be here and the world's going to be destroyed. And I just felt so bad for her. I'm like, girlfriend, her heart was already broken and she's just so scared. And I just, it's just, people got to stop not being that scared. That's the great news is the Lord is at the head of the column. He's destroying them. And it's to many people, he's like a thief. They don't even realize what he's doing. You know, it's just, you know, if you've ever had someone pickpocket, you're like, how did that happen? Jesus likens himself to this thief. How could our Lord Jesus' return be like a thief? That's what we're talking about here. I think that there are, you never know. And I said this in the answer key, that sometimes the Lord will sneak up on you And he'll surprise you with something that he says that he comforts your heart about something. And he's so sneaky sometimes, you know, and you don't even realize until he says something. Like, well, that was sweet of you to say, Lord, and put this on your heart, you know. And so, you know, he's like a thief in that way. He's leading the battle, and a lot of people don't even realize it, that he's rescuing humanity. He's rescuing humanity. And also, if anybody sees Miss Jacobs online, you can ask her, see if you can private message her, because she and I have had some talks about this, and maybe you can ask Miss Jacobs on here about what her thoughts are on that. Anyway, so number 20.
So, how does that square with every eye will see him? Which that means if he's among us, a lot of people are seeing him and not knowing, not understanding. They're seeing him, but they're not seeing him.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. It says every eye will see him, but how's he like a thief? Right?
Everyone doesn't recognize him.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So now, this reminded me of the passage in Matthew 25 about the wise and foolish virgins. Okay. So, Tammy, would you read that passage for us?
Sure. Then the King of Heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you."
Yeah.
"So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return."
Woo! All right. So we want to keep the oil in our lamps. And what is this? This is the fire of the Holy Spirit. And that he, first of all, to have us walk in his ways and not end up like these people who've taken in demons, who've loved the wealth and the power and all this, and lost the most precious reward in the world, which is to have that relationship with the Lord. It's awful. So first of all, that, the oil of the Holy Spirit, and then along with that is to trim that lamp, like the virgins in this story, to keep that lamp burning bright. And so you listen very closely to the Lord so that when he tells you something, that you're ready to hear it. You know, and some people don't have their lamps trimmed. They're not listening carefully. And unfortunately, they've been listening to maybe the media, maybe their preachers, maybe somebody that they trust, and trusting that person instead of listening to the Lord in their heart. That's the problem, right? And it's hard. It's hard when you keep going back to a place and you keep, like a lot of the people who are going back and listening to mainstream media, they keep going back and getting deceived again. And the same thing can happen at a church, you know, and, remember you were going to escape. Remember we're going to escape, that kind of thing. So, you know, and it's not that they don't love the Lord. It's just that they need to really listen more carefully to the Lord instead of listening to outside voices. And it's not easy. It's not easy. So, yeah. But there are some who, yeah, they are in big, big trouble because they cast away the most wonderful thing in the world, which is the Holy Spirit. They cast out the Holy Spirit and they took in demonic spirits. It's absolutely awful. So watch, for you don't know the day or hour of my return. All right. And now, in kind of an interesting way, we do now. Because when you look at freedomforce.live and you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see this is the sign of the Son of Man that he had just talked about a little earlier in this whole conversation. That whole conversation he's having in Matthew 24, 25 is all, it's like one long conversation. And they were asking him, "What's the sign of your return?" And he's saying, you don't know the day or hour, but he is saying here, he said, when you see the sign of the Son of Man, you'll know that's the time. And this is the sign of the Son of Man right here. So I've got lots of videos about that, so I'm not going to go into that detail now. But now we do know that. All right, so now the next one is, didn't that remind you of the story of the foolish virgins? It's like a coming as a thief, and to be ready and to be watchful. So I'm so glad you guys are here, because you are watchful. You are listening to him. So congratulations. All right, 22.
Which, how can we recognize our Lord's? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Amen. So we recognize his voice. We've been listening to him and praying to him and asking, you know, his spirit to be with us. And
for a long time.
We'll be surprised when he tells us.
Right. For a long, long time. For a long, long time. And we know him. He knows us. We follow him. We've been following him for many of us for a long, long time. Even if you haven't been following for a long time, it's not so much about the length of time as much as it is the how much your lamp is trimmed, right? That is, as it was talking about with the virgins, that they're, you know, keep that lamp trimmed bright, and so that you are ready to listen. All right. Now, number 23, how will some who are not watching walk naked and ashamed like in Revelation 16:15? See Zechariah 12, 10 through 11 regarding the Valley of Megiddo. Okay, so yeah, read that for us, please.
Sure. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are those who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. Keep going.
Yep.
Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as far as an only son. For him as for an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who has died. The sorrow and mourning in Jerusalem on that day will be like the great mourning for Hadad Rimmon on the Valley of Megiddo.
Yes. So that what happened on in the Hadad Rimmon in the Valley of Megiddo was that King Josiah was killed. And they were heartbroken because he was the first one that had gotten rid of all the Baal worship and all the Asherah poles and all the evil that had been going on. He had restored righteousness to the country, and they were so happy. And then when he died, they knew that an evil king would take his place, and everything was just going to be awful. And so people are going to be mourning like that, mourning and crying, not because we're not going to have a righteous king, but because they'll just be in bitter tears and anguish. And why? It's because they will have pierced the Lord. It fought against the Lord. As we've talked about, the Lord is at the head of this battle. He's the one who's leading this to save humanity. And there are many people who are deceived into fighting the Lord himself. And that would just be awful. They don't have their lamps trimmed and they're not listening carefully. They're being deceived into doing something wrong. And it's just a hard, hard thing. And so this passage in Zechariah 12, it's saying that, you know, they're going to weep bitterly because they realize that they, after this is all over, they'll realize, yeah, I'm sure you have family members like this too, that have chosen badly on not to support what's happening right now to save humanity. Like people, you know, out here fighting Elon, who's trying to help save our country from bankruptcy. You know, and they just, they're brainwashed. You know, it's not, the Lord's not angry, you know, with the ones who are, you know, yes, the ones who are throwing Molotov cocktails are in trouble. But the point is, you know, there are a lot of people who are just brainwashed, and they'll be sorry and sad after this is all over. They're like, I was deceived. So, you know, let's just all have that spirit of grace, as it says in Zechariah 12:10, I'll pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David. And so we realize that everybody's going to be, you know, heartbroken once this is over. That they, if they didn't not only believe the Lord, but also fight along with him, alongside him. All right, 24.
Do you think the modern church will be exposed and ashamed that the leaders controlled by the New World Order missed Armageddon and led the people astray? Do you think the people who listen to preachers instead of listening to Christ and the Holy Spirit will be disappointed they miss fighting alongside Christ in the Battle of Armageddon? Yes, yes and yes.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. And that's why I was saying, don't listen to, you know, no, don't even me. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Lord, right? Listen, you know, don't listen to the preachers. I mean, you listen to gain wisdom. You can't, whatever you can, but first and foremost, you listen to the Holy Spirit within you. All right. 25.
Okay. Read Revelation 16:16-20. Describe in your own words what this passage depicts. What a sight this will be when the cabal is finally destroyed.
Yes.
And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies and into a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, "It is finished."
Woo-hoo!
Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky unto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm.
Yes.
The storm is upon us.
Amen. That's right. The whole name of this chapter is this terrible hailstorm. This storm is upon, really, it's upon them, right?
Upon them.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I mean, I know that past, that post is saying that it's upon us. It's like, but it's the picture is the storm is here and we're bringing them down. That's what all of us have been waiting for years. Like, when will we see a rest, right? And so this huge thing. But look at this Babylon split into three sections. Now, I posted this on the thumbnail for this video, and that is this one right here. Yes. Okay. I think I did two of them. Here's the picture that I put on the thumbnail where it's really talking about this tripartite New World Order, where they have the City of London, which is the base of the financial power of the New World Order, the Vatican City, which is the religious power of the New World Order, and Washington, D.C., which is the military power of the New World Order. So it's tripartite in three sections. And if you notice right here what Tammy read, it said that in verse 19, so the great city of Babylon or the New World Order split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So their power structure of their military might, their financial might, their religious might, it's going to crumble. Anyway, it makes heaps of rubble. Like when we talk about the Jericho, it all was just rubble. After that, this is that picture. Again, I talk about that in the book, End Times, This is Biblical. All these Bible stories are happening before our eyes. Their kingdom is going to crumble into rubble. Like with Samson bringing down that temple on their heads, it's just going to be rubble. God remembered all of Babylon's sins and made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. All of it was leveled. And it's not about a physical hailstorm. It's like this pounding of judgment. Of exposure and judgment. And it's just, this is what we're headed toward. There's no turning back. There is no turning back. This is happening. So it's very, very, very exciting. But I do believe that that's really what it's talking about here is this financial, spiritual, military might is crumbling. And I think that's what they were telling us. They have this three tripartite union that is again indicative of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They always take what is holy and they make turning it into something evil. That's what they always do. They hijack all of our symbolism. Well, we're going to have all that back. All right, so now number 26.
Since Armageddon is an information war, where is the Battle of Armageddon? It's on social media, the internet. We're blasted out as fast as we can.
Absolutely.
And things are happening every day, and unfortunately, we don't have the mainstream to get it, you know, anymore. We just made
exactly,
our own.
Exactly, exactly. We are the news now. Praise the Lord. Yes. So where is it? It's right here on our channel. It's everywhere that people are getting the truth. All right, 27.
In Revelation 16:17, a voice from the temple shouts, "It is done." Whose voice do you think that is? The Lord Jesus,
right? Yay. As I was saying before, he said it at the beginning, and now this chapter, and then at the end, it is finished. It is done. Okay, 28.
What does Revelation 16:17 mean by it's done? So the Satan, the beast, false prophet, all of them have finally been cast out into the abyss, and humanity has saving humanity has happened
Yes, I
for
cannot
salvation.
wait. I cannot
Yay.
wait. It's going to be so awesome. I just, can y'all imagine? Can you imagine? It says that soon your troubles will be over. Remember, it's Zechariah chapter 3. I post that all the time. I love that passage in Zechariah 3. Your troubles will be over. Can you imagine? Okay, verse 31. Question 31.
31. What might the hell represent that causes the evildoers to curse God? What?
Uh-oh. Okay.
So it's a judgment being rained
Okay.
down on
Yes.
men.
That was from also from Revelation 16:21, as well as in the right here. Right here in this passage, there was a terrible hailstorm as we talked about this terrible judgment. All right, summarize this chapter in your own words, and let's take this opportunity to thank and praise the Lord for his great rescue. So I'll read that. Lord, we praise you for this eradication of our enemies from the earth. Help us to be tough and to join with you in bringing down judgment on these demon worshipers. Make your name glorious in all the earth. We praise you for the millennial kingdom you've prepared for us, where we will have peace on earth and health and wealth worldwide, and everyone will know you. We thank you for this amazing promise that is soon to be fulfilled. We are going to see this day, you guys. We are so blessed to live in this day and have a front row seat and to be part of what he's doing. Isn't that amazing? All right. So next week, we're going to talk about the harlot. We're going to talk about the harlot. This is going to be chapter 20 in the book. This is chapter in the study guide. And then chapter 19 in the book, and then 17 in Revelation, chapter 17 in Revelation. All right, so we're going to talk about the harlot and what they, who they are and what they do. And so, yeah, I hope you guys are enjoying this, that we're learning all about this. And I just hope that you guys feel like it all fits, that all matches, because in the past, you'd read something, you're like, this doesn't exactly all coincide and it makes sense exactly. But now, it for me, it just, it makes perfectly good sense. It makes, especially now that we're awake and we know what is happening. I'm just so thankful to know the truth. So make sure to keep sharing this information. I'm hoping that that more people are going to be ready to hear the truth about this. So pray for us to fulfill the role that God has given to us, right? And also for everyone on the Freedom Force Battalion. I just feel like one day this truth is going to just burst forward. And we're ready. We've been working hard, getting everything ready in place. And that's why we're doing these videos, so that when people are ready for the truth about this, then they know where to come. So definitely go to freedomforce.live. You can see the end, freedomforce.live/endtimes. You can see the page there, which has kind of a summary to help everyone, like a primer to help everyone get a brief understanding. And then there's the whole playlist, so they can catch up on all these the videos of the study guides. And you can check out the books. They're over there on freedomforce.live, as well as on Amazon. That is End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. It's the end times for them and a thousand years of peace for us. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you that you're just and true are your ways, and that you're going to pour out these bowls on them, and that there's nothing that can stop what is coming. We praise you and thank you that that this hailstone of judgment is going to fall on them, that their tripartite kingdom of darkness will fall, and that only you and your kingdom will last. Only you and your kingdom will continue. We praise you that we're going to enter into this beautiful days of health and wealth and peace for the entire world. Lord, I just pray you continue to bless our group here. I just pray you help us to keep our lamps trimmed, so that we hear from you very carefully, and that we just listen very carefully to you above any other voice. We listen to you, and we thank you and we praise you. And I would just ask you to protect everyone on this channel. I pray you protect their health. I pray you protect their families. I pray you protect their finances, everything that they need, that you will take care of them as you always have. And we put our trust absolutely in you, because you are faithful, and that you are you're that thief that is sometimes whispers things to us and guides us in ways that we didn't even imagine. We thank you that you do that for each one of us individually. We just love you so much that you do that for us and guide us every step. We just love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, we did it. It's 11 o'clock. We did it. I'm so proud. loud. Okay, I love you guys. I'll be on the chat for just a half minute, but yeah, I've got to get going. I've got some things I've got to do. And so I guess that's it. All right, guys. I guess that's, let me see if I can get to the right button. We love you. And we will talk to you later.